Today on Blue Rock Public Radio's Earth Report, a compulsive public masturbator vows that 2014 will be the year he finally pulls himself together and stops eating junk food.
We discussed last week's season finale of The Mormon Bachelor. Spoiler alert, he chose all of them.
Pedophilia is the new not pedophilia, claims a local pedophile.
And could lying increase your penis size? A new study says, yeah. All this and more coming up next.
This program is sponsored by... I'm sorry, but I'm unable to read this message from our sponsors. Please disable all ad-blocking software on your browser to ensure I read ads properly.
And by Bernie Thompson, whose $10,000 a month contribution has left us with no choice but to provide him with 20 seconds of unfiltered airtime in every episode.
Oh, hello again. You know, funny thing about this morning, I woke up and I saw some squirrels playing in the yard. I think there are four of them. I like squirrels. Smart, resourceful animals. You know, the thing I don't like about the Irish is that...
Well, welcome to Blue Rock Public Radio on the new KZLQ. You're listening to Earth Report. I'm your host, Andrew Jessup, and with me is my co-host, Eugene Crowley.
Not guilty, Your Honor.
It's not a courtroom, you idiot.
I don't know, just in case. I've made the mistake once before, and now I have this tattoo. See?
Whoa, scary. Well, we've got a great program for you guys today. As always, here on Earth Report, you're going to hear the very best and very latest local, national, and international news. Everything you need to stay informed. Our top story today in epistemology, truth has conformed to Wikipedia. Truth, the elusive concept that accurately describes the state of reality, has decided to match itself to the popular online encyclopedia after millennia of a priori self-evidency. The move, which comes in response to widespread complaints about differences between the two rival sources of knowledge, seemed to be an inevitable result of Wikipedia's growth, for which truth was simply no match. The ethereal state of being conceded defeat at a press conference yesterday.
I just can't compete with a website that boasts 30 trillion new users daily. I'm lucky if people use me once a day, and my popularity among 8 to 10-year-olds, politicians, and boyfriends responding to accusations of infidelity is just plain awful.
While most people support Truth's decision, given the pathetic nature of its growing obscurity, some are wary of Wikipedia's newfound power. For example, a Wikipedia edit claiming that giraffe necks are 80 feet long will now alter not only universal public perception, but physical giraffe neck sizes as well. Needless to say, giraffes worldwide are nervous.
Please don't change my neck size. It hurts and makes my head hard to hold up. Oh no, no, stop!
That was East African giraffe Palvo, clearly too sad to enjoy his newfound power of speech.
But fucking with large African mammals isn't the only new development brought on by this change. George Zimmerman has died 24,000 times in the last day. Natalie Portman is now married to 17-year-old Boston resident Jesse Michaels. Wait, now make that 16-year-old Houston resident Matt Phillips, who apparently has a 10-inch penis. And Abraham Lincoln now plays small forward for the Knicks.
This is a great day for mankind.
That's newly instated president of the world Jeffrey McDaniels, who is now married to Natalie Portman.
I only wish my mom were alive to see how successful I've become. Oh wait, now she is!
Truth is now defined on Wikipedia as the state of reality as defined by Wikipedia. While some have accused this definition of relying on flawed circular logic, a quick glance at the Wikipedia entry for logic proves them decisively wrong. And by the way, for you Hoops fans, Lincoln has 34 points and 8 boards with 5 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. Citing a wide range of human rights and environmental violations, UN authorities raided Santa Claus's North Pole compound early yesterday morning. The global toy magnate, best known for his efficient distribution practices, labor-intensive production, An unrelenting discrimination against non-Christians and kids whose parents don't have jobs has been taken into international custody.
While details of the raid are still emerging, initial reports suggest that the production facility failed to meet international standards for pollution, worker safety, and worker compensation. Eyewitness reports also indicate that the bearded bringer of joy ruled over the compound with the iron fist of a tyrant.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
That's Smiley, a midget slave who claims to have been forced to wear bells and work 18-hour shifts inside one of Mr. Claus's many asbestos-laden factories.
He knows if you've been bad or good, or if you leave the assembly line more than twice a day to use the bathroom.
Reports also indicate the production facility, which ran entirely on dirty coal, had been causing potentially irreversible damage to the Arctic environment for decades. Amid the cracking glaciers and rotting polar bear carcasses, authorities uncovered a herd of malnourished reindeer, each of which had been crudely strapped to a set of wings and a JT-90 turbofan jet engine. UN Inspector Charles Harding had this to say.
It's clear that Mr. Kringle, alias Santa Claus, was a real monster. Our agents found him in a secret chamber 50 feet underground, where he was brutally torturing a non-compliant worker by whipping him and force-feeding him unchristian amounts of milk and cookies. No one should ever have to endure that much Christmas cheer.
I put an extra red Lego in one of the sets, and Santa said it was coming out of my paycheck. But since I don't get paid, he chopped my foot off! He just kept screaming! There's no hope for you! Oh, God!
Santa is currently being held without bail in Geneva, likely to spend the rest of his indeterminately long days in prison. Sources say Christmas will almost certainly be canceled next year.
No Christmas! No!
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-
And now we go live to the helicopter with traffic and weatherman Brian Hitler, no relation. Brian, how's the weather looking out there?
It's raining cats and dogs out there. Here, take a listen. Well, I'm Brian Hitler for Blue Rock Public Radio's Weather and Traffic, no relation.
Well, we've got a very special guest in the studio today to talk about some big issues. Jenna Richards is a professor of women's and gender studies at American University in Washington, D.C. She studies modern issues of race and gender and advises public policy for the Department of Justice. Jenna, thanks for coming on the program today.
Hello.
So, Jenna, tell us about this straight white male privilege that we keep hearing about.
Well, Andrew, straight Caucasian males living in this heteropatriarchal country are born with countless benefits and advantages that they reap throughout their lives without even realizing it. It's important to educate them on their privilege so that they might gain some perspective and better empathize with the struggles that others deal with on a daily basis. Fostering a dialogue and understanding here is very important.
That's a very noble cause, and I think for our part, we men need to take responsibility and really be aware of the determinants of our actions.
Oh, typical male, acting like he can solve all the problems.
But that's the only way to solve it, right? By men changing their behavior.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you? Oh, poor little me. I'm such a helpless little girl who can't solve her own problems without the help of a big, strong man.
So you think women should be at the forefront of the movement?
Why should we do all the work? We're not the ones at fault here.
Sorry, I'm just trying to understand here.
You've lived your entire life as a white male, reaping the advantages of privilege. You'll never understand.
But if I'll never understand, what's the point of trying to educate me?
I'm trying to educate you on the fact that you'll never understand.
Okay, that really doesn't make any sense.
That's so disrespectful. Making sense. You do realize that your entire sense of sense is a direct product from you being raised as a mentally sane individual, raised by mentally sane parents. Check your sane privilege for just a minute.
What? But I think I do understand. Disenfranchised minority groups in this country face unique challenges, and they ought to be recognized and accounted for.
Oh my gosh, I honestly can't even take you seriously right now behind all that ability to understand privilege. You realize millions of Americans have no comprehension and will never have proper comprehension of these issues? Does that mean anything to you?
Is there an answer I can give that won't result in more criticism?
Perhaps, but that wasn't it. You're racist!
Well, I'm going to cut my losses and just end this interview right now. Ms. Richards, it's been a pleasure having you today. Sorry for being so offensive.
Like an apology is going to make up for it.
Sorry for apologizing.
Well, as we know, homecoming for Blue Rock High is coming up. Huge game against Washington. Lots of questions about Blue Rock's running game and the new defensive scheme as well. Here with us is sports analyst Greg Osborne to discuss who Blue Rock High starting quarterback Trent Harrison might be taking to the postgame dance.
Thanks for having me, Eugene.
So is it Emily?
Common theory, Eugene, but no, it does not look like it. Trent and Emily were spotted making out at a party at Kevin's house last Saturday night, but friends say they didn't even get to third base, and given how hot he is, it seems like he could do way better than a girl like Emily, who, let's be honest, she's kind of chubby.
Very true. But I'm sure a guy like Trent has other options on the table. I mean, this is the Trentinator we're talking about.
No, Eugene, I don't think we have to worry about the old touchdown Trent not scoring. Come on. My money's on Holly Richardson to be his eye candy at the dance. You know, she's sexy, she's young, she's a cheerleader, so they see each other a lot. And, you know, Ashley says they're always texting, and Ashley seems to know a lot about these sorts of things.
Wasn't Ashley trying to hook up with Trent at one point?
Well, yeah, you gotta remember, Trent was hooking up with Molly, Ashley's best friend for a few months back in sophomore year.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But I would not put it past her to seize the opportunity if it came her way. I mean, have you seen Trent in that new jacket he got for his birthday last week? He is irresistible, and we gotta be real here, this is Ashley we're talking about.
So true. And yeah, obviously, it was all over Facebook. That guy looks good in anything, doesn't he?
I might make a move on him myself.
Get in line. Oh, that's Greg Osborne with sports. Thanks so much, and go Wildcats.
Go who?
And now for a quick look at traffic, let's go back to Brian Hitler, no relation.
Roads are looking awful if you're coming home from downtown today. All the main highways are totally jammed. Cars at a complete standstill. It's an absolute nightmare, guys. The only way, I repeat, the only way to get home is by abandoning your vehicle and taking a helicopter. This traffic update is brought to you by Frank's Helicopters. It's not a bird, it's not a plane, it's Frank's Helicopters. I'm Brian Hitler, no relation.
A new study released by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration reveals that texting while driving is in fact only dangerous if you suck at it. The groundbreaking new study contradicts years of conventional wisdom that such distracted driving is dangerous, finding instead that increased collision rates actually only apply to those Americans who are shitty drivers, shitty texters, or both. The remaining drivers, those who possess the rudimentary mammalian brain power necessary to perform two very simple tasks simultaneously, should feel perfectly free to let Kimberly know what you think of Amanda's new boyfriend during the next red light or straightaway. Here's NHTSA spokesperson Catherine Malloy.
Texting while driving is dangerous. For idiots. Just like marbles are dangerous for babies. Are we going to ban marbles? No, obviously. That would be ridiculous. Just don't give them to babies. Look, if this analogy is over your head, don't text and drive. The rest of you who can handle it, go for it. It's pretty easy. Just, you know, don't fuck it up. It's the same as driving drunk.
In response to the findings, the NHTSA has released the following public service announcement on how to text and drive safely.
Are you an artard? Do you have difficulty knowing which shoe to put on which foot? Are you a fan of Drake? Well, then maybe texting while driving is difficult for you. So here are some helpful hints. First, you might have the stupid urge to text with your feet. Please don't. You'll need those to work the gas and brake pedals. Use your hands instead. Second, you only have two hands. So when you text and drive, have a friend hold your beer for you. And third, don't ever drive while asleep. Unless if you're really tired and have driven that road plenty of times before. Keep these things in mind and you'll be not crashing in no time.
The NHTSA is now looking into further research into whether the rumors of danger are true for speeding, riding without a seatbelt, and driving while masturbating. And now for a special interest story, we go out to Randy in the Field, who has a heartwarming piece from one of Blue Rock's very own. Take it away, Randy.
Twelve-year-old Tyler Joplin isn't like other seventh graders. He goes to class, he plays with his friends, and eats dinner with his family. But there's more to this story. You wouldn't know it just by looking at him, but Tyler is actually a 550-pound silverback gorilla. Like all young adults, Tyler just wants to fit in. But even among his friends, that can be tough. At lunch, he's usually the only one with leaves and stems in his lunchbox. He has facial hair while most of his classmates have yet to enter puberty, and Tyler doesn't understand English, as he's an entirely different species with an inherent disadvantage in human activities, like schooling, sports, or basic socializing. Here's his homeroom teacher, Frank Talbot.
I think it's been pretty tough for Tyler ever since he got here. The other students are always calling him names like Gorilla or That Big Gorilla, and they're always saying things like, why is there a gorilla at our school? Kids can be so cruel.
To be sure, Tyler is different. His proportionally smaller frontal lobe makes it hard for him to remember the names of his peers, and his padded fingers make it difficult for him to use his iPhone 5S. However, those differences don't seem to bother those close to him.
Yeah, I don't really see it as, oh, I'm a human, Jack's a human, Tyler's a quarter-ton ape from the West Rwandan lowlands. He's just one of the guys, you know? Usually when we're hanging out, I totally forget that he's a gorilla. It doesn't define him.
Indeed, Tyler's not one to give in to adversity. Despite his shortcomings, he has made friends, is well-liked by his teachers, and was even selected as captain of the debate team this year. Here's him in action. Tyler's debate coach thinks maybe years of getting picked on and being different are what make him so good at responding to words. He points out that whenever a snide remark is made about him, Tyler handles it with grace, never once verbally complaining or acting like he understands the words of those who ridicule him. It's a thick skin that makes it difficult on his debate opponents and predators. Math teacher Suzanne Plumley also praises his disposition, raving that he's one of her favorite students.
Tyler is a joy to teach. He never calls out in class or complains that the material's too difficult. He's a teacher's dream student. Sure, his DNA is only 96% similar to that of humans, but usually it feels a lot closer to 97%.
His friends agree.
He's hilarious. He's always walking on his knuckles, grooming himself, trying to mate with female gorillas. Dude's always on the prowl.
And what does Tyler himself think about all that he's accomplished? Here's his mom interpreting his sign language.
Okay, he's saying gorilla, so that's referring to himself. Banana, hungry. Gorilla again, hungry. No, Tyler, you just had dinner. Answer the question. How do you feel about what you've accomplished? Okay, he's scratching his butt again. I'm sorry. We'll have to ask him later.
When he's feeling a little less quanky.
And so, life goes on for Tyler Joplin, a 12-year-old kid just trying his best. And I think he could teach us an important lesson. It's easy to get caught up in superficial things like what clothes you wear or what species you are, but Tyler teaches us that none of it matters. You can overcome any disadvantage as long as you have a good attitude. I guess they don't call them great apes for nothing. I'm Randy, in the field, for Blue Rock Public Radio, Blue Rock, Missouri.
Well, that's our show today, and oh, and on Wall Street, both the Dow and the Nasdaq fell to zero, no more stock market. For more on our show, go to BlueRockPublicRadio.com.
Oh, but before we go, shameless plug for my cousin Seamus' plug company, where no hole can't be plugged. Please buy the plugs, everyone.
Stay tuned for the Dictionary Show. They'll be covering everything from aquarium to axiom today, and you won't believe what they have to say about avocado. I'm Andrew Jessup. Till next time.
And I look forward to broadcasting to you again soon. Sincerely, Eugene Crowley.
It's not a letter, you idiot.